Okay, let's jump into something really vital, I think. Building anything that lasts, right? Career, projects, just life direction.
Absolutely. And this deep dive, it's all about cracking the code for consistency, you know, how to get that long-term impact.
Yeah, exactly. And we're digging into insights from this specific teaching. It's called a prophetic charge titled Strategy for Consistency.
Mm-hmm. And it leans heavily on scripture. Philippians 3.13 is a big one there.
Right. So our mission today is basically to unpack its core ideas. Like, what does it say holds us back? What keeps us from making steady progress?
And crucially, what strategies does it actually offer for, you know, real longevity, for sticking with it?
The charge really sets the scene well, I thought. It kicks off with Proverbs 4.18.
Oh, yeah, the path of the just shining more and more.
Exactly. More and more. It's not just reaching a light level, but like continuously getting brighter.
That image is powerful, isn't it? It immediately makes you think about the opposite, feeling like yesterday was better and today or tomorrow. Well, there's not much hope there.
Right. And the source material is clear. That's not how God intends it. Stagnation isn't the goal.
And then it brings in Joshua 13.1. You've got Joshua old and stricken in years.
Someone who'd done so much, led the people, major victories.
And yet God tells him there's still very much land to be possessed. Even after all that, there was more territory waiting.
Always more. And Paul echoes that so strongly in Philippians 3, which is kind of central here.
Yeah, not as though I had already attained, but I follow after. That drive.
And the bit the charge really focuses on, this one thing I do,
mm-hmm.
and then the action word, pressing towards the mark.
That pressing feels key. Paul, I mean, he could have easily kicked back, right? But no, he's saying I'm not there yet.
He's laser focused. This one thing, actively, you know, determinedly chasing what's next.
So that's the foundation. Continuous increase, always more land, and this call to be actively pressing. So what does the charge identify as the main thing stopping this? The big obstacle?
Okay, so the core problem it points to is overdwelling on the past.
Right. And what's really interesting is it says this applies whether the past was, you know, negative or positive.
Both can mess you up. That's the part that I think surprises people. We get how a negative past failure's hurt can drag you down.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what does the charge say dwelling there specifically does?
When you're stuck on a negative past, old mistakes, feeling like you're not good enough, the charge says it, it basically breeds fear.
Okay, fear.
And discouragement. And here's the kicker. It actually deflates the passion you need to keep pressing. It just drains that energy.
Saps the drive. It uses examples, right? Like Gideon.
Yeah, Gideon. God calls him a mighty man of valor. And his first thought is his past, his background. I'm the least.
Right. That negative view born from his history became like a filter, didn't it? Almost arguing with God's word about him.
Totally. Or the man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5. Jesus asks if he wants to be healed.
And his answer is about the past limitation. I have no man after 38 years.
Exactly. The charge suggests maybe it wasn't just a lack of people, but maybe a lack of understanding the principles to attract help. He was stuck in that old mindset of lack.
Wow, that's a deep thought. That the pain itself can become like a stronghold, blocking your view of any way out.
Mm-hmm. And it contrasts this with Peter. Remember Peter, after that terrible night fishing, catching nothing.
Yeah, total failure.
But when Jesus tells him to try again, he says, nevertheless, I'll do it. He didn't let that immediate past failure stop him.
That nevertheless attitude, choosing not to be trapped by the failure. Okay, but let's flip it. How does the good past, our successes, become a problem?
The charge is really clear on this too. Overdwelling on the good stuff. It leads to complacency.
Getting comfortable.
Yeah. And it can foster pride, specifically what it calls the pride of life, like getting caught up in your own achievements.
Which then leads to overconfidence.
And ironically, you lose the discipline that probably got you there in the first place.
Huh. So you get less discipline because you're kind of coasting on past wins. That's a sneaky trap. It really is. The charge points to Samson, saying, I will arise as before.
Not realizing his strength, the source was gone.
Right. He was banking on the memory of success, but the connection wasn't there anymore. Operating on fumes from the past.
The charge uses some great analogies here. The microwave one.
Oh, yeah. Heat it right. It's good. Too long. It's burnt. Useless.
Your past success Hang on to it too long, celebrate it too much, it becomes harmful. Or the applause one.
Right, you got clapped for walking, but for the next level, you gotta fly. Yesterday's standard isn't today's.
That completely shifts things, doesn't it? Your last result isn't the ceiling, it's just where you were then.
Precisely. And the charge insists, good or bad past, manage it poorly and it will hurt your future. That's why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind.
It's not amnesia, though.
No, no, it's a conscious choice. Choosing not to let the past, good or bad, define you, limit you, or make you lazy about what God still has ahead.
And it connects us right to our achievements, our awards.
Yeah, it says don't over-celebrate. Like, put a time limit on the party. Don't let your last win kill your momentum for the next press.
Your trophies, your successes.
Yeah.
They can actually become distractions. Blur the vision for what's next.
It even says, maybe controversially, sometimes you need to metaphorically hide your awards. Get back that hunger of a starter, someone who hasn't made it yet.
Hide your awards.
Yeah.
It's quite an image. Forces you back to the pursuit. Okay, so the past is the main obstacle. What are the strategies then? The charge offers two main ones, right?
Yes. The first key strategy for consistency, for longevity, is to remain humble and broken, no matter what you achieve.
And it's careful about defining humble and broken, isn't it? It's not about being heartbroken.
No, not that. It's about having a heart that's soft, teachable, like a child's heart before God, malleable.
It seems like it's fundamentally about recognizing God's hand as the main reason for any win, any success, any good thing.
Exactly. The higher you go, the more vital it is to stay humble because you're giving credit where it's due. The charge uses that picture of kneeling being the safest place.
Right. You don't fall easily when you're already kneeling. Standing up high, that's risky.
It's a great visual for stability during success, and it ties straight into Proverbs 3, like you said, trusting God, not your own smarts.
Acknowledging him in all your ways, so he directs you.
And Philemon 1.6 comes in too, acknowledging every good thing in you is actually in Christ. It's this constant posture of receiving, not just doing it all yourself.
Which is the total opposite of pride. The charge really hammers this point. God resists the proud.
Mm-hmm. And the anointing, the grace that lets you achieve things. You can't fight God if he's opposing you because of pride.
So pride literally blocks the flow. The charge calls it a destroyer, a depleter. It actually reduces the value of what you built.
Whereas humility adds honor, makes it last. It mentions Joseph.
Yeah, incredible suffering, then incredible power, but still humble. No revenge.
In contrast, him with Nebuchadnezzar, that prideful boast.
Led to him eating grass like an animal. Until he acknowledged God.
It's a stark warning. That temptation to shout about your wins, prove yourself, let people pump up your ego.
Those are the challenges to staying humble. The charge asks you to think, could pride be why you're stuck? It says when pride entered, it's like you switched off your ignition. Maybe progress stopped because the connection to the power source got severed.
Oof, that hits home. You have to approach God not just as the successful leader or influencer, but always, fundamentally, as someone receiving his grace.
That posture unlocks continued grace, which means continued consistency.
Okay.
Humility, acknowledging God's hand, that's strategy one. What's the second key?
The second strategy is a commitment to never stop learning, just continuous learning, always seeking more knowledge, more revelation.
And it connects this to the idea of light, right? From John 1.5.
Yeah, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it, can't comprehend it.
It makes this interesting point that day and night aren't just about the clock. You could be in broad daylight, but if you lack the specific knowledge or revelation you need,
it's basically night for you in that area. You're in the dark on that issue.
It uses those analogies to show different levels of knowledge.
Yeah.
Like dew versus a bucket of water.
Right. Dew is scattered, not enough. A bucket full. Okay, now you have enough knowledge, enough water to actually do something useful, like take a bath.
Or the phone light versus the big auditorium lights.
Exactly. A little knowledge is light, sure. But it won't light up the whole room, transform the whole situation.
So the charge is saying you need a certain standard of light, of knowledge, for the specific results you want.
Mm-hmm. It quotes 1 Corinthians 8.2, if you think you know something, you don't know it like you ought to. You need a specific level of understanding, of principle, for that anointing or prosperity or influence you're aiming for.
And this learning isn't a destination, it's a journey. Never stop searching for that light.
Even Paul. At the height of his ministry, writing scripture, he's still saying that I may know him, still pressing for more knowledge.
So the charge encourages you to be hungry, learn from anyone, anything, but also structure it, right? Be intentional.
Yes. Learn about ministry, learn about finances, leadership, learn more about God himself. Structure that learning.
And it ties learning directly to success, to overcoming things. That Proverbs verse about the labor of the fool.
Being wasted because they don't know the way to the city. The charge says that way is the how-to, the principles. They don't know how to win in that area.
There's a way to do ministry successfully, or business, or life. Learning reveals that way.
And mentorship comes in here, too, as a shortcut. Getting that distilled, structured knowledge from someone who knows the way to the city.
It suggests ignorance makes problems look huge, like mountains. But light knowledge, understanding principles, it kind of deflates them.
Yeah, like the man at Bethesda saying, I have no man. Maybe it wasn't just no people, but no light on the principles that attract helpers.
Or financial struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not just a lack of cash, but a lack of light on financial principles.
Exactly. And the final challenge on learning is crucial, especially for successful people.
Yeah.
Don't let your achievements stop you.
The I'm too busy, I'm a CEO, I've arrived excuse.
Right. Technology means you can learn even when busy. Your success, your position, should actually be an advantage for learning more, giving you resources, not a reason to shut it down.
Wow. Okay, that really ties it all together. So this deep dive into the strategy for consistency charge basically says, roadblock number one is getting stuck on the past, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the two core strategies to keep moving forward are stay humble, always acknowledging God's hand.
And never, ever stop learning. Keep chasing that light.
Those really feel like the foundations for making sure that path keeps shining more and more.
Definitely present it that way. Bedrock principles.
So for you listening now, maybe just take a second. Where are you finding yourself dwelling too much on the past? Is it an old hurt still stinging?
Or maybe it's a past success that's kind of made you put your feet up a bit. Complacent.
And then think about these two strategies. Where do you maybe need a fresh dose of humility? A more conscious effort to see God's hand in things?
Or where do you need to stir up that hunger to learn again? To really seek out the light for whatever's next on your path.
Yeah, and building on that idea of pressing forward, possessing the land, still ahead, here's maybe a final thought to chew on from this deep dive.
What is that specific next level of land for you? That next goal, that next phase of growth you feel called to step into right now?
And thinking about what we've talked through, which one of these strategies, staying humble or committing to continuous learning, do you think you need to prioritize most urgently right now? To make sure you keep pressing effectively towards it.